And good afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 28th of December. I'm your host for Juneau Afternoon. It's been a sunny, clear afternoon with 27 degrees as the high temperature and some northeast winds from 25 to 30 miles an hour. It's going to continue to be clear tonight with a low around 24 and clear, windy conditions through the weekend with a chance of snow once we get to New Year's Eve on Sunday. We're going to hear from Heather Mitchell about Juneau Cabaret's upcoming performances this afternoon and some information about the New Year hike from the State Parks Advisory Board. There'll be some information on the JDHS Jazz Band's fundraiser, and Nancy DeCherney from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council will be here with Arts Up. Stay tuned for Juneau Afternoon after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're revisiting some stories in our USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism series. Chronic illness, particularly diabetes, is a long-standing public health concern in many tribal communities. Health professionals say lack of access to fitness centers and limited fresh healthy foods are among contributing factors. But some individuals are working to overcome challenges and are sharing what they've learned. Lauren Anthony prepares chicken, cutting them up in his kitchen, making sure to get them as lean as possible before throwing them on the grill at his house in Gallup, New Mexico.
If you don't prepare for your week as far as eating clean, then majority of the time you're going to go pull off into some like fast food joint.
The Navajo actor, health advocate, and motivational speaker has been doing meal preparation for about 7 years. It started as a way to improve his health. He now offers them up to the public to purchase. High-calorie processed foods can be found at every corner in Gallup, Lauren says. Gallup is a town where people from the Navajo Reservation and Zuni Pueblo often go shopping.
I want our community to be healthy because there's so many people out there just struggling with their health issues, and I think the real health care plans are, you know, at home.
Food deserts are common on many reservations and surrounding areas. Those are places which lack access to fresh, healthy food. But health professionals say people can work with what's available.
It's not always about the best option, but what's the better option than what you have now and making the best of what you have.
Heidi Gabalski is a nutritionist at the Native Americans for Community Action's Wellness Center in Flagstaff, Arizona. She says some of her clients often have to pick foods from a convenience store or from federal commodity boxes.
Let's say there's the fruit cocktail. Rinse it as much as you can because it's in heavy syrup. You know, we've got flour and things like that. Do we have to fry it? Could we make dry bread instead of fry bread? Drinking water instead of soda, but soda's a big issue.
But the
back in New Mexico on Lauren Anthony's menu is grilled chicken, rice, and green beans. This meal is under 400 calories compared to fast food options, which can add up to 800 or more.
We don't go and hunt and gather anymore like we used to. You know, we would go out and build a fire, and there's work put into that.
Healthy living has not always been the story for Lauren. He says he changed in 2009 after living a life he describes as drinking alcohol, being overweight and depressed. Lauren says after reaching a low point, he decided to turn his physical and mental health around, which eventually led him to help people today with both their diet and physical health. On this day, he volunteered to team build with a girls' high school volleyball team.
He's a support that a lot of these kids need.
Lorena Morris is the girls' head varsity coach at Gallup High School.
There's a lot of challenges facing a lot of the youth, especially due to how widespread the area is. A lot of kids have transportation issues. A lot of kids have financial issues. A lot of them live in poverty. And what I really like about Lauren is he does not charge for his services.
Lauren says his passion for helping people stems from overcoming many challenges in his life.
I don't want people to give up. And I believe that when I speak to youth, when I speak to young adults, when I even speak to our elders, we can always pick it up and say, I want to be that leader.
Researchers and health professionals say consistency in eating and a strong support system are associated with long-term success, which Lauren and other grassroots leaders are striving for in Indian Country. Navajo and Hopi youth began a journey from Flagstaff, Arizona to Bears Ears this week in an effort to raise awareness about the sacred site. A year ago, then-President Obama established Bears Ears National Monument in Utah. Earlier this month, President Trump announced a reduction of the protected site, which five tribes, including the Navajo and Hopi, are fighting in court. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Quantic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, advising us all to protect the circle of life. Help prevent the spread of the flu by getting a flu vaccine each year. Learn more at aaip.org. Support by AARP, creating and connecting you to unique tools and content like Native Origins, incorporating Native American culture with recipes inspired by indigenous foods. More at aarp.org/Native Origins.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
It is 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today's Thursday, the 28th of December, and you're listening to a Juno Afternoon. With me are Heather Mitchell and Tom Locher to talk about Juno's Cabaret. So welcome, Heather and Tom.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us
on the air today.
Yes, and so I understand there is some time sensitivity to the information you're going to impart to our listeners, so I'm really glad we were able to get you on. Go ahead and tell us about the upcoming Juno Cabaret performance.
All right. So Juno Cabaret has been working in partnership with the Friends of the State Library Archives and Museum. And we started out our Great American Songbook series last spring, sort of our pilot season, so to speak. And it is an opportunity for us to do what Juno Cabaret does, which is preserving kind of the history of the Great American Songbook, which is a catalog of music from several decades. Making sure that people have exposure to them, but also to get to hear it. But what the Great American Songbook Series is an opportunity in a lecture combined with music format, not particularly long, about an hour and a half, I guess, where you get to hear a little bit of information on a particular composer or lyricist from the Great American Songbook, and then get to hear some of those pieces done in excerpt form from some of our Juno Cabaret singers that we have.
So it's not just a concert and it's not just a lecture. It's the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
It's the good parts version.
Good.
Yeah, Laura Haywood is our biographer, and she'll be doing some of the narration all about Johnny Mercer and his contribution to the Great American Songbook and American song in general.
Mm-hmm.
We have some great, great singers, 8 altogether, and 2 accompanists. I'll be one of the accompanists. Luke Weld is the other, and Clay Good will join us on drums. Heather's going to tell you about the 8 wonderful singers that are going to be there. Well, 7 apart from her. She's wonderful, too.
But too modest to mention herself.
Of course. We don't need to talk about me. I get to help with the administration of these events, but I'm also one of our singing talents, so it's really kind of fun to be able to work both sides. But I'm really excited that I get to work with Zebediah Bodine, who I think, unless you've been living under a rock in Juneau, you've seen Zeb in one of his shows. Julie Causey, who is kind of our Mercer specialist, so she knows a lot about Johnny Mercer and has sung a lot of his stuff. So we are really glad she's coming into town to sing with us. Alyssa Fisher, John Haywood, Allison Holtkamp will be joining us. This is the first songbook series show she'll be doing with us, although she's done many cabaret shows. Myself, Salisa Thal will be joining us, and Vicki Van Fleet. So we have a really pretty tight lineup of really good singers, so it should be a great show.
Great singers. The accompaniment's been really fun to arrange and build up these songs with the singers. Well, rather than songs, they're excerpts of songs. And also to work with Laura on the biography information she's found out and how to spin a short lecture into a way to introduce some of these songs for the listeners. The great thing about this lecture concert series, is there's no ticket to buy. It's pay as you can. You just come to the lecture hall in the museum. The doors open at 1:30 Saturday. The concert begins promptly at 2:00. You can park in covered parking downstairs, ride an elevator upstairs. It's all accessible. And the concert will conclude between 3:15 and 3:30. There will be a short intermission also. And you can walk around and see the atrium. It's a beautiful building if you haven't yet been there. Everybody should have a look at the Andrew P. Kashaveroff State Library Archives and Museum right here at 395 Whittier across the street from where we are.
Absolutely. And it's really sad. If you have not been to this facility, this is a perfect opportunity on what's going to be a cold and windy winter day to go do something inside. As Tom, as you said, there's covered parking that's free below the building, and you can just scoot right on up in the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's a more accessible venue in town.
No. And we look forward to presenting this programming all winter long. We'll have a lecture concert once each month, always on a Saturday afternoon at 2:00. So certainly watch the media for more information about upcoming concerts all the way through April.
And you mentioned before we went on the air that the piano has been freshly tuned.
Tuned today. Cameron Cortland came from Anchorage and worked his magic on the grand piano in the lecture hall. I went over and played it this morning. It's a great, great sounding piano. Great sounding room. Very comfortable for a listening concert.
And the chairs are even comfortable.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You can't go wrong. If people want to learn more about the Juno Cabaret Great American Songbook Project and or the Friends of the State Museum, are there some online resources you can direct them to?
Yes. You can go to our website at junocabaret.net, but you can also go to www.foslam.org to get information about the Friends of the Library as well as all of our co-sponsored concerts.
And all of their programming that they're putting on at the APK. And then we also have a Facebook presence. Both they have it and we have it. So please like us on Facebook, Juno Cabaret.
And one more time, the date and time for this concert coming up this weekend.
Saturday, December 30th, 2 p.m., 395 Whittier Street.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Tom Loker and Heather Mitchell. Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
No, just come out and hear some good singing.
Okay, and you guys stay warm because you've got to be in tip-top shape for your concert on Saturday. Very
good. Thanks for having us on the air, Ben.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye now.
The only thing that separates us from the animals is our ability to accessorize.
Come see Steel Magnolias, where hair will be styled and lives analyzed, all with raucous humor and 80s music and fashion. Don't miss it.
At Perseverance Theater, December 1st through the 31st. Tickets at ptalaska.org, The Jack, and 463-TIXS.
Laughter through tears is my favorite emotion.
This is Sarah Raster from the Year of Kindness Steering Committee. As part of 17YOK, all sorts of groups have adopted specific weeks during which they are doing something special to help spread kindness. This week's group is the 2017 Year of Kindness Steering Committee. You can send stories and pictures of your own kindness experiences to 17YOK at junopolice.com. Together, we can make Juno a better place to live.
And it is about 12 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 28th of December. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. And our next guests are Christy Gentleman and Marita Weed from the Alaska State Parks Advisory Board with some interesting information about the first hike of the new year. So welcome, ladies, to Juno Afternoon.
Hi.
I have to say, it was a little cold earlier today. I wasn't thinking about going hiking.
Well, luckily, it's supposed to warm up by January 1st, so and possibly even snow. So it might be a good day for a hike on the 1st, and if you want to meet us, we'll be out at the Airport Dyke Trail. The hike starts at 10:30, and we will have some hot coffee and some cider.
Well, tell us a little more about the State Parks Advisory Board and what its role for serving Alaskans and getting them outside and recreating is.
Well, the advisory board is a voice for the community to kind of liaison between parks, local government, state parks, and we're there to be a voice, really, for all the user groups out here in Juneau.
And the appointments are gubernatorial. The governor to appoint the members
it's
of the state
park? The director.
The director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. Okay. And are you both members of the advisory board?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
But it's a statewide board, or are they regionalized?
They are regionalized. There's a few, actually, down in Southeast. There's one up in Haines, over another down in Ketchikan. So we're the Juneau area state park.
Well, I've often remarked, you know, I'm from Anchorage, grew up in Palmer. We don't have a lot of state parks, ironically enough, being the capital. We have a lot of great parks and trails, but they're not really technically part of the state of Alaska park system. Eagle Beach is a state park, and the Greening Homestead site, I believe, is a state park, but there's not a lot of other actual formal state park land in the city and borough of Juneau.
Well, the House of Wickersham is another area that is state park.
And that's a great place to go hiking on a cold day.
It is. Did you say Point Bridget?
And I didn't mention Point Bridget, so...
Thank you. Then the Perseverance Trail and Granite Basin, those are also managed by state parks.
Okay, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. And we also have some marine park areas around, too.
Yes, the Channel Island Marine Park.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably the newest one. The legislature expanded that, at least, if it didn't create it initially, you know, within the last decade, I think. They added quite a few. Benjamin Island and a few other islands were added to the marine park.
Yes, and then State Parks has been putting cabins out there. We also have cabins out at Eagle Beach. There's lots of uses around here.
So if people want to get more involved and learn, like I obviously need to, about the true breadth of state park resources in the capital city, the state website's probably good. Does the advisory board have its own online presence anywhere?
No, we do not.
But you kind of make suggestions to the folks who manage the web for the state?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We also have meetings September through May every first Monday, and that's open to the public. And we also are taking applications for new advisory board members.
Right. Okay, well, that's good to know. That's a good way to get involved and to learn more. I think one of the reasons I had the misconception that there were maybe fewer parks than there actually, until you listed them all, is you only have to pay to park at Eagle Beach. And I don't know if any of the other ones have paid parking.
No, they don't.
And that's a real incentive up in the South Central area. Like if you're going to go to Chugach State Park, you know, all those Glen Alps, those are all paid parking areas now. So there's a real incentive for people who live there to buy the annual pass. But you should buy one here because it's the right thing to do and it looks cool on your car.
It does, very much so.
And then when you take your car on the ferry, you've already prepaid your parking at all the state parks around the whole state. So
there you go.
Well, tell us a little more about the idea behind the first hike of the new year. That's just kind of a bold, exciting way to, you know, go out and even though it's the middle of winter and embrace it. How long has that been going on?
This will be Juneau's first day hike. Yeah. However, this has been going on nationally for a number of years, and we're going to be participating along with 50 states and a couple other hikes up north.
Very good. So that's good. So the first but not the last. This is going to become a new annual kickoff the new year tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Airport Dyke Trail, that's a pretty manageable hike for most people, even on a cold day. I mean, you didn't pick, you know, something. You didn't pick Mount Jumbo.
Not this time, no.
We're going to work up to it.
Yeah.
There are people who go actually climb that trail in the winter. You know, obviously they're insane, but they do. I've heard about it. They've lived to tell the tale, and they're insane.
Yeah. No, this one's a good, manageable one, and there's no requirement on how far you can go. So, you know, if you want to go all the way to the end, to the fence, you can do that. You can go all the way to the bench and back, or if you just have the ability to go to the first corner and come back. You know, it's just a way of starting your year outdoors and being active.
That's a very good idea. And as you mentioned earlier, the forecast is for snow after 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 32. So it'll be a little warmer than it is now.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd like to see it snow several feet, but it probably won't. So I imagine as long as people have boots on, they should be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the same rules apply here that often apply to the CBJ hikes that happen every Wednesday? No dogs or firearms, or do you have any restrictions like that?
I think the restrictions are just the restrictions that are on the trail itself. And unlike the city hikes, this isn't a group hike. This is just on your own with your family or by yourself to just come out. Dogs are allowed on the trail with leash.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, friendly leash dogs are encouraged to join their families.
Very good. Well, dogs are part of our families, and we want them to have a great 2018 as well.
Yes.
Well, wonderful, Christy and Marita. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about the first hike of the new year or the State Parks Advisory Board?
I think all I have to add is that last year, 55,000 people across the nation participated in this event, so hopefully we can add to that number this year and make it a little higher for 2018.
Absolutely, and make sure that some of those however many thousand are Alaskans.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you so much, ladies. Happy New Year, and have a good hike on New Year's Day.
Happy New Year.
I love to go a wandering along the mountain trail, and as I go, I love to wander by the stream that dances in the sun. So joyously it calls to me, come join my happy song. Valerie, Valera, Valerie, Valera, Valerie, Valera. I wave my hat to all I meet, and they wave back to me. And blackbirds call so loud and sweet from every greenwood tree.
It is 22, almost 23 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 28th of December, 2017. The year is almost over. That means New Year's is coming up, and that, of course, is a good reason to consider going to the Juno Jazz and Classics Ring in the New Year Gala Extravaganza at the Jack. Reggie, welcome to a Juno Afternoon, and tell us about the festivities we can expect this Sunday evening.
Well, thank you, Ben. This Sunday evening is going to be swinging the New Year, and we're going to have the Juno Big Band and the Gambling and High Cost of Living Band, two different bands this year. The party itself starts at 9 o'clock, but if you're interested in learning a little bit of swing moves and improving your dance skills, there's free dance lessons for all the partygoers from 8 to 9.
Free dance lessons.
Free dance lessons. So if you want to improve a little bit more swing, you have a chance to come and do it with Lorinda Kasner. She'll be the teacher that evening.
Excellent. And so the event is at the Jack, and there's a limited number of seats.
There's a limited number of table seats. There are, and we are just about out of them. So if you're thinking you want to sit at a table, if you have a nice place to leave your drink and stuff when you're dancing, it's time to get your tickets now. If you just want general admission, come in. There'll be chairs set up on the side, some stand-up tables where you can leave your drinks. You're going to be fine. But if you're looking for that table so you can sit down and put your feet up when you get tired, now's the time to get your tickets.
And I actually got mine the other day because I happened to be over at the Jack working. And there were not many left then, and I think people have been coming in at a pretty regular...
There's less than 20, I believe, seats left right now.
Now, if people want to pop into the Jack, they can actually get them there, or they can go online.
And
if they
go online. They're $45 per person. That does include all the gorgeous music we're going to have, as well as a light appetizer buffet bar and a dessert bar. And we have a no-host bar throughout the evening, but, of course, we'll give you a champagne to toast with before midnight.
Now, if people want to do a little wandering, Can they come by, check in, get the party going at the Jack, and then maybe wander around downtown and come back?
As long as they hold on to their ticket.
Okay, so you need your ticket to be readmitted.
Exactly. But if they hold on to their tickets, that's not a problem. I think most people, when they get there, they're just going to want to stay there, though, because the music's going to be so great. And I hear it's still going to be chilly and windy outside.
Yeah, the turn in the weather isn't supposed to happen until New Year's Day, so we're looking at some pretty warm conditions on, pretty chilly, cold, windy conditions on New Year's Eve. So you're right. People may not want to be gallivanting around downtown like it's a July 1st Friday.
That's true. And the Jack has tons of parking. So you can come and find easy parking and get on and enjoy the warmth of the fellowship and the great music at the Jack.
So before we went on the air, I was remarking how neat I think it is that the Juno Big Band and Colette Costa's High Cost of Living are playing in one concert. This is kind of a first for Juno Jazz and Classics.
This is a first, and we're setting up two stages. So there's going to be one stage with the big band on it. So when they stop playing, there's just a few players that need to move from the big band over to High Cost of Living, and the music's going to start right up. So there's not going to be a big lull in the music, so you'll be dancing all night long.
Very good. And how did you get Colette to agree to do this?
Actually, I have to say Vicki Van Fleet and Tim Powers convinced Colette to do this. She's actually flying back a day early from her vacation to be here to do this. So actually, our hats off to Vicki Van Fleet and Tim Powers who convinced her to do this.
I just thought, wow, she's a delightful musician. But giving up your New Year's Eve to have to work and not just revel in the fun is a sacrifice. So I think it's delightful that Vicki and Tim's persuasive abilities brought this to pass.
They did, and we're very grateful to have them helping out with our New Year's Eve.
Let's think about, just real quickly, about the purpose of the fundraiser, though. This is to support Juno Jazz and Classics, which will be here before we know it next May.
Before we know it. And if you are coming to the event, it'll be the first chance you have to buy tickets for the festival. The festival tickets will be for sale at Swing in the New Year for all the participants that come in. And where that's going to become really important is there's only one Blues Cruise this year. So if you want your Blues Cruise tickets, you're going to want to buy them early, and you guys will have the first chance at the dance. As well as this year, we're going to do a classical cruise, only one classical cruise. I expect those to sell out way before the festival this year.
And I was actually looking at the Jazz and Classics website the other day, but I'm not remembering. In the past, there was an afternoon blues cruise and an evening one. Are they both going to be evening cruises, the classical and the blues one?
No, the classical is going to be a lunch cruise, and then there's going to be a 7 o'clock blues cruise. One blues cruise at 7 o'clock will come back in as the sun's setting.
I bet that's going to sell out really quickly.
I'm sure it will. And the band that's coming is the Andrew Jr. Boys Jones Band from Austin, Texas. And it is Austin, Texas blues music. You'll be dancing the night away on the ferry.
Give our listeners the Jazz and Classic website so they can go and learn more about the festival they can look forward to and also think about getting their tickets for this Sunday night.
All the events are up on the website for the festival, and it's at jazzandclassics.org. And like I said, don't wait if you want a seat to buy your tickets for Swing in the New Year.
All right. And, you know, the worst case scenario is you might end up having to sit at my table. So really, I mean, there are consequences to procrastination. Thank you so much, Reggie. We'll see you on Sunday night.
We'll see you on Sunday night, Ben.
Heard you in the early morn outside my window pane. I've heard you sing a happy song after summer rain. I've heard you when I'm happy. I've heard you when I'm blue. You've sung so many songs for me. Now here's a song for you. I've heard you when I'm happy. Heard you when I'm blue. You sung so many songs for me. Now here's a song for you. I've seen you in the forest tall, and I've seen you by the sea. Your wings, they fill the sky each fall, returning in the spring. If you should ever stay away, I don't know. So many songs for me, now here's a song for you. You should ever stay away, I don't know what I'd do. You've sung so many songs for me, now here's a song for you. You've sung so many songs.
so many songs for me. Now here's a song for you.
And it is about 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Thursday, the 28th of December. This is a Juno afternoon. We have Shadrach and Reed from the Juno Douglas High School Jazz Band here in the studio and a little pre-New Year's treat. They're going to play some jazz for us. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Thank you.
All right, well done. Well done, gentlemen. So Reed and Shadrach, you guys are both juniors at Junior Douglas High School.
Yeah.
Step a little bit closer and tell us how you got involved as jazz musicians in the jazz band.
My parents made me join the jazz band.
What an honest answer.
Yeah, for me, I just thought jazz band sounded a lot cooler, the music sounded a lot funner than wind ensemble and concert music. I just prefer jazz over classical.
And when did you gentlemen start playing?
I took lessons when I was pretty little, probably 5 or 6, but I stopped for a long time, probably until I got to, like, 4th grade.
And then you picked it back up again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't originally play the trombone. I just sort of started playing it my sophomore year because my band teacher said it'd be cool to play in the jazz band, and I like jazz more, so I learned it. And so I suppose I've been playing jazz trombone for like 2 years now.
Excellent. And so what is your sort of rehearsal and performance schedule as jazz band members? Do you rehearse all the time and perform a lot of the time?
Yeah, we have class every morning except for Fridays. And then, I don't know, we have concerts every once in a while.
And you have a fundraiser coming up.
We sure do.
All right, yeah. And so maybe your support staff can give us a little information about that.
Yeah, so this is Rhonda, and I'm Reed's mom, the one who highly suggested he take jazz band. And it was not a complaint about taking jazz band. It was a complaint about waking up and being at school at 8. So that's actually the 0 hour element.
Perfectly reasonable complaint.
Right. So coming up in February is Jazz Fest, Sitka Jazz Fest, and they bring some pretty amazing musicians. I've never been, so you'll have to ask all these guys about it. But they try to get all the kids to go, but it can be expensive for some families. And so Amy Bibb, who's here with me, had the idea that we could do a jazz dinner fundraiser coming up this Saturday on January 6th. And the proceeds would go to help pay for scholarships for kids to get everybody down there, basically, whether they could afford or not. So, and we thought, what better way than to have the kids play music while people ate dinner to raise money to go to Jazz Fest.
And so this is the first time for this event.
Yeah, this is Amy's brainchild of how are we going to make this happen. And so she thought this was a good downtime when they're still on break, but after all the festivities of holidays are over, so...
Well timed. So, yep. Rhonda, that's good information. Amy, tell us a little bit about what's going to be involved with the dinner, where it is, what's going to be served, and what folks can look forward to, and how they can get their tickets, of course.
Okay. It's going to be Saturday, January 6th at 6 p.m. in the Commons at Juno Douglas High School. We're going to have meat. There's someone's going to cook a roast and mashed potatoes and something vegetarian. We're going to play. You can eat dinner. The jazz band's going to play 2 different sets. So you can listen to us, you can dance, you can eat, and we're hoping to have another act in between us. That's unconfirmed, though. If not, there'll just be music piped in, so you can listen to jazz all night.
And the Jazz Fest, Rhonda, like you said, is coming up pretty soon in the spring, so this is kind of a time-sensitive fundraising effort for the young people in the band.
It is, yeah. But they know more about Jazz Fest, why it would even be a good thing to go. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Shadrach, Reed, tell us what you think about jazz. I mean, I've certainly heard of it. I've never gone, but it's a pretty, well, you know, like most musical events in Sitka, it's kind of world-renowned.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like living in Alaska, it's kind of a little bit of a rare chance for us to get one-on-one time learning from world's, like, renowned musicians. And there's some really talented people there, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I love going, and I just like listening to all these crazy artists, because a lot of the time when I walk in and sit down, I walk away thinking, I didn't know people could do that. Like, so it's pretty cool for me to be there.
I know last year, I after Jazz Fest, I was definitely a lot more motivated to continue in jazz, and it was really great.
And Sitka's a pretty cool place to visit anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think it's a good any excuse to go to Sitka is a good reason to go.
Yeah, well, they listen to concerts all day long and all night long, and they get to perform. There's a big jumbo TV screen, and it's kind of like being on the big time. But the jazz musicians are talking about, they're just amazing, and the kids just are just thrilled. Every time I've been, it's been really exciting to see them. They put on workshops in the afternoon, and these world-class musicians interact with them one-on-one and give them personal tips sometimes and just really, really inspire them.
And last year when I was talking with, I believe I was talking with John Unzicker about this when they came back, and he said that, like, down south they'll have these jazz festivals for high school students, and you'll go into a master class or one of these workshops, and there'll be 400 kids. Whereas these guys go into a master class, and I don't know, how big were some of your master?
Like 20 among.
Yeah, so it's pretty unique in that way, too. I mean, they get jazz students from all around the state, but they also get this really personal experience with really renowned, you know, artists. So.
And that's akin to so many artistic events in Alaska, the theater conference in Valdez. It's just the scale. You know, people want to come to Alaska, and there are only so many of us Alaskans to welcome them. So that's really to our benefit. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we do a good enough job. They want to keep coming back, it seems like. Mm-hmm. So when is Jazz Fest again?
So, yep,
February 1st.
1st of February. So coming right up. So your chance, listeners, to help make sure that all the young people from the Juno Douglas High School Jazz Band can go and be there in person and learn from these you know, world-renowned musicians is coming right up with this fundraising dinner.
Yep. And so I just wanted to also mention, you know, a lot of people are busy. So the event's on January 6th at 6 p.m. You can buy tickets from any of your jazz student people you know, or you can contact Amy Bibb here at amy.bibb@junoschools.org. Or you can even just make a donation to help sponsor some kids to go to the festival. That would be great.
Excellent. Well, I sense the intense motivation in the students here and in their support staff. So keep up the good work. Anything else you'd like to share, Shadrach, Reed, Rhonda, or Amy?
I think I'm good.
No.
All right.
Have a nice winter break.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your winter break. Happy New Year's. And the dinner is a week from Saturday on the 6th. And I look forward to hearing how what a good time you guys have when you get back from Sitka.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. It is 47 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon. Today's Thursday, the 28th of December. And our last and certainly most interesting, or as interesting as any other guest
no,
today.
No, no.
Certainly not the least, is Nancy DeCherney, Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
I'm good. In the interest of full disclosure, I should disclose that I'm the Marketing and Development Specialist for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
It sort of works in handily, doesn't it?
Yes, so, and we've disclosed it. There you go.
That was good.
Art's up. Art's up on this Thursday afternoon.
Well, okay, this is your weekend to see Steel Magnolias. If you haven't done that, get call up now and get your tickets. It's a lovely show, funny, touching, all those things, and it closes this weekend.
And and it already ran in Anchorage, so if you can't go to Anchorage to see this one if you mess up.
So there. It is New Year's. All that sort of stuff is going on. I think you just spoke with Reggie about the swing in the New Year. On Saturday, the Juno Cabaret, you've spoken with them. They present their Great American Songbook series at 2 p.m. at the museum. There is a every other Saturday drawing group at the Canvas. Setup is at 4:45, and they close the door at 5, so get there on time. New Year's Eve is on Sunday. You can celebrate the Year of Kindness at Thunder Mountain High School from 1 to 5. This was an incredible year. Started out with a bonfire, and they're going to close it with a chance to make a commitment. So join them out there. More information on Facebook at the Juno Police Department. New Year's Eve barn dance up at St. Anne Parish Hall with dancing and relaxed, fun atmosphere, it says. So no experience is necessary, no partners. This is at the St. Anne's Parish Hall from 7:30 to 11. There's a little charge for that, but nothing out of the ordinary. Swinging the New Year. That's always fun.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. There's, in case of overindulgence, there's from 9 p.m. until midnight, the Safe Ride Home, and how to get a hold of those people. You can ask at the bars for those phone numbers. Look for the green flashing lights. Sign up online. So you can get more information about all this sort of stuff on our website in the calendar, which is at jahc.org or ktoo.org. Either one. From 10 to midnight, we got Sugar Shack at the Alaskan. Old time music as delicious as chocolate chip pancakes. So there.
And nutritious.
And nutritious. And so the next day is New Year's Day after you've had those pancakes. 10:30 a.m., you can get up and do the first hike out on the Mendenhall Wetlands. There's a short family-friendly walk along the Airport Dyke Trail. You know, there will be hot cider and other warm beverages because it's going to be cold.
It is. It's supposed to warm up a little, but not that much.
Not that much. But, you know, since it's balmy, from 1 to 2, you can go to the 26th annual polar bear dip at the Auk Recreation Area, 1 p.m. sharp at the large shelter. Come and dip in to ring the new year and be ready to warm up.
Warm up, and then you can stop by Bartlett for hypothermia treatment on the way home. It's very convenient.
Yes. So there is a pop-up library happening on Tuesday the 2nd at the Juno Senior Center from 11:30 to 12:30. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun. And on Wednesday the 3rd is the Wildlife Wednesday at the Egan Lecture Hall. This week, protecting bears on Alaska National Preserves. Note shifted locations for season's remaining wildlife from Egan Lecture to the Egan Lecture Hall. So anyway, those are things that are free and fun to do and can get you started. But the real big news...
We have some good news.
We have some big news that just came in like moments ago into my email. There is this group called Westaf, and they research creativity in the United States. They put out this thing called the Creative Vitality Index to measure how much... creative vitality there is.
It's a pretty accurately named device, yes.
Juno's number 6. Out of 932 cities in the United States, we rank number 6. And that's like right up there with Santa Fe. And I had this on my phone. I just pulled this up.
Jackson, Wyoming.
Summit Park, Utah. Jackson, Wyoming. Vineyard Haven, Massachusetts. Santa Fe, New Mexico. Glenwood Springs, Colorado, and Juno, Alaska. You live here.
Yes, we do. I was delighted when you said, did you see your email? I said, no, I was talking to someone else on the air. And I try not to multitask too much. But when I looked at it, I was delighted. But I'm not totally surprised, because we know, everyone who lives here knows how artistically vital and strong Juneau is. I think one thing that's interesting that I'm going to want to go look at is I'm going to guess that all those other cities have a formal performing arts center.
Mm.
Chances are. And so that would be the one of the, what you know, like Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. We can do something about that, though, and that's a good
and
thing.
And we're working on that right now. And, you know, as it's coming to the year end, it's often a time when people think about where they could make a little gift as part of their taxes things. And I urge you to think about the arts community as well as the other charities in town, because we do, I have to say, the arts community does so much. There's the JAM program, the Arts and Humanities Council. We're trying to build a building. The symphony does great stuff with kids. So take time to think about that as and be thankful for all the things that we have in our town as the year comes to a close.
Well, there really is not a bright line between art and the rest of life is something that you know and I know. And most people probably know better than they think that they know. But when you look at the Arts and Humanities Council, all the educational programs are serving so many other needs above and beyond the strict provision of artistic opportunities to young people. It's making their families better. It's making their futures better. It's making Alaska's future better. So the interconnectivity really is something to reflect upon at this time of year. And any gift to any of those worthy organizations is going to help everyone in one way or another.
And thank you so much for all the people that do so much. All of this stuff gets done because people volunteer their time as well as their money. So we live in a great town, number 6 in the United States.
Yeah, and
we want to be number 1.
We do want to. I will thank WestAF. The Western States Arts Federation is the most high-functioning of the 6 regional arts organizations that state arts agencies are part of. They've been so helpful to the state council here. And I won't go on and on, but we should be grateful to them for their general support, and this specific research tool is really helpful. So I would say we're going to have to do a little more work in the new year getting the word out about being number 6 and how we're going to keep climbing until we're number 1.
Yeah, we want to be number 1.
I mean, that's
take that, Santa Fe.
It's going to be a tough fight, but we're going to do it.
All right.
So Nancy, thank you very much. And people still have till midnight on Sunday to go and donate to the Arts and Culture Center or any other worthy cause, but all that information can be accessed primarily through our website or through KPOs.
Right. You can go right online and do that.
Very
right
good.
Now.
Okay, thanks so much, Nancy. Happy
thank
New Year.
You. Happy New Year.
Alaskans give because we care. We give to help others. This year, before filling out your permanent fund dividend application, be sure to use the new Pick, Click, Give, Pick tool, which helps identify the causes that speak to you. With the new Pick tool, you can narrow down the choices so your donation goes to the causes you care about most. Make a difference to organizations that need your help in the most effective way possible. Visit us at pickclickgive.org.
Thank you.
that was Over the Rainbow, performed by Lawrence Blatt on his album Longitudes and Latitudes.
You too can look like a king or queen in this year's fabulous KTOO hooded sweatshirt. Due to popular demand, we are now selling them at our front desk. Check out the logo design by Marms and Meeks on our website, then swing by the station during regular business hours to purchase your KTOO branded hoodie.
And it's true, there's a big old box of those out in the front office if you want to purchase one. So it's a little less than 2 minutes before the hour. This has been a Juneau afternoon, this Thursday, the 28th of December. The weather forecast, again, is for clear conditions tonight with a low around 24 degrees, northeast wind around 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Friday, is going to be sunny with a high near 26 and east winds from 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low around 11. So if you have things outside that might freeze or otherwise be damaged by the cold, pay attention to that. East winds from 15 to 25 miles per hour. And on Saturday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 23, so cold conditions continuing. A low around 20 Saturday night. Mostly sunny on Sunday, New Year's Eve, with a high around 29. And then it's supposed to start snowing after 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve. So let's see what happens with that. We could use the snow. Ben Brown here. Thanks so much for listening, and a Happy New Year to all.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO.